Ever think about like when a city charges you to hook up to their water or sewer lines, when that like goes from being a normal fee to like an illegal tax?
Yeah, that's a really good question.
Today, we're diving deep into a super important Florida Supreme Court case that basically laid down the law on this exact issue. It's called Contractors and Builders Association of Pinellas County v. City of
You got it. Dundon.
Dundon.
And for all you law students out there listening, understanding this case is super important, like really, really important. It
Yeah.
gives you like the basic framework for figuring out if all sorts of local government fees are legal or not,
Yeah.
especially when it comes to utilities. So think of this as your like ultimate cheat sheet for navigating this whole messy world of like city finances and the laws around all that.
I like that, a cheat sheet.
Yeah.
So, okay, let's set the scene here. What was the big problem going on in Dundon way back in the 70s? Who was fighting with who?
All right, so picture this. You've got the city of Dunedin on one side, and on the other side, you've got the Contractors and Builders Association of Pinellas County.
Okay.
They were representing like all the developers and landowners and basically anyone who was building stuff. So Dunedin had these fees in place that you had to pay if you wanted to connect to their water and sewer systems.
Right.
And the builders, they were arguing that these weren't just like normal fees for a service. They were saying that the city was basically trying to sneak in taxes without having the legal right to do so.
So they were saying the city was like overstepping its boundaries, kind of doing stuff it wasn't allowed to do, like that whole ultra vires thing we hear about sometimes.
Exactly. You
Yeah.
got it. The builders were claiming that these fees, they were basically unauthorized taxes, and the city needed like special permission from the legislature to do that, which they didn't have. Now, here's the interesting part. The first court that heard the case, they actually agreed with the builders. But then the District Court of Appeal, they came in and totally reversed that decision.
Yeah.
And because this whole thing was such a big deal for cities all over Florida, the state Supreme Court decided to step in and give everyone a clear answer once and for all.
Gotcha. So basically, you've got this clash going on. The city's saying, hey, we're just charging for a service here. And the builders are like, no way, this is just a sneaky way to tax us. So why is this difference between a fee and a tax so important legally? It might sound like they're being picky, but I know there's a bigger reason.
Oh, absolutely. It's not just being picky. This distinction is like super important legally, and it has like real consequences. You see, the power to tax, that's like a fundamental power of the government. It's usually granted and limited by specific laws. User fees, on the other hand, are usually seen as charges for particular services that a government provides. And cities, they typically have more freedom to impose these fees under their general powers. So if Dunedin's connection charges were considered taxes, they would needed explicit permission from the legislature to impose them. And that was the whole point the builders were making.
Okay, that makes sense. So the big question in this case was, can a city charge these connection fees not just for the immediate hookup to the pipes, but also to cover future expansion of its water and sewer systems? That's where it gets tricky, right? That's where the line between a normal fee and a potential illegal tax seems to get blurry.
Absolutely. That's the million-dollar question the Florida Supreme Court had to grapple with. Could these connection fees legitimately include costs for expanding the utility infrastructure to handle all the new folks coming in, or did that automatically turn them into an unauthorized tax? The builders argued that charging for future expansion wasn't really a direct cost of the immediate connection service. It was more like a way to raise money for general improvements, which they believe should be paid for through regular taxes.
So what did the Supreme Court say? Did they side with the city or the builders on this big question?
Well, the court, in an opinion written by Justice Hatchett, took a balanced approach. They didn't completely rule out the possibility of connection fees, including costs for future expansion. Instead, they laid down a really important principle: new users should bear new costs, but only to that extent. That statement, that's like the key to understanding the whole ruling. The court acknowledged that, yeah, when new developments pop up, it puts more stress on existing infrastructure. So it's reasonable for those new users to chip in for the costs of expanding the system to meet their needs.
So it's not automatically a tax just because the fee includes future growth. But I'm guessing there were some pretty specific conditions attached to that. Like cities couldn't just start charging crazy fees and say it's for future expansion.
You're exactly right. The court didn't just give cities free rein. They established a clear two-part test that these connection fees had to meet to be considered valid user charges and not illegal taxes.
Okay.
The first part of this test is what we call the pro rata share requirement. What that means is the fees charged to new users can't be more than their fair share of the expected costs of expanding the system to accommodate them. The fees have to be directly tied to and in proportion to the extra demand created by the new connection. The court made it very clear that new users shouldn't have to subsidize existing users or pay for expansions that won't benefit them directly.
That makes sense. New development means new needs, so it's fair for those new developments to cover the costs of meeting those specific needs. And what about the second part of the test?
The second part, and this turned out to be the deciding factor in the case, is the explicit restriction requirement. The court said that the local ordinance that sets up these connection fees has to clearly and legally restrict how the money collected can be used. Specifically, it has to say that the money can only be used for expanding the water and sewer systems.
Gotcha.
And this is where Dunin's ordinance messed up.
Ah, so even though the idea of charging for future expansion wasn't completely rejected, the way Dunin wrote their ordinance, or maybe what they didn't write in it, was the problem.
Precisely. The court decided that Dunin's ordinance didn't have this essential explicit legal restriction on how they could use the money from these fees. Without that clear, legally binding rule tying the money directly to expanding the water and sewer systems, the court reasoned that these fees could basically become just general revenue for the city to spend however they wanted. And that, according to the Supreme Court, is what turns a legitimate user fee into an illegal tax.
I remember reading that the court used a really helpful analogy to explain this, something about a fee that's supposed to be for maintenance.
Oh yeah, Justice Hatchett used a really clear and relatable analogy. He said that if you collect a maintenance fee and say it's for maintaining a specific building, but then you actually use the money for totally different things, then that fee is basically a tax in disguise.
Sneaky.
Yeah. And the key flaw is that there's no dedicated enforceable rule about how the money has to be spent. It opens the door for the city to use the fees for whatever they want, which bypasses the whole legislative process that's required for imposing taxes.
So even if the city said, oh, but we really intended to use the connection fees for expansion, the fact that they didn't put that in writing, like a specific clause in the ordinance, was enough to make that part of their fee structure illegal?
Exactly. Good intentions don't cut it in the legal world. You need that legally binding restriction in place. So because of this major flaw, the Florida Supreme Court overturned the District Court of Appeals decision and sent the case back to the lower courts. But it's important to note that they didn't completely ban Dunin from charging connection fees for expansion. They just gave them a clear path forward. If the city wanted to do it legally, they had to revise their ordinance and include that explicit legal restriction on how they could use the money.
Okay, so what are the big takeaways from all this for our listeners, especially those who are still in law school trying to figure all this stuff out? Why is this case from 1976 still so important today?
Well, this case is still a cornerstone for understanding what cities can and can't do when it comes to charging fees, not just in Florida, but in other states too. It's been really influential. For law students, Dunin highlights a few really fundamental principles. First, it emphasizes the crucial difference between user fees and taxes and the limits on a city's power to tax. Second, it provides a clear two-part legal test, the pro rata share and the explicit restriction for figuring out if connection fees are valid, especially when those fees are meant to pay for future expansion. If you end up working in local government law, land use law, or even areas dealing with regulatory takings, you'll probably run into the Dunin framework. It's that important.
It really drives home the point that cities can't just make up fees. They have to show a clear and justifiable connection between the fees they charge new users and the actual cost of providing services to those users, including the cost of expanding infrastructure to meet their needs. And as we've discussed, just saying, oh, we plan to use the money for this isn't enough. There has to be a legally enforceable rule in place to make sure that happens.
That's exactly right. It all ties back to that broader legal concept of ultra-vires acts. Dunin's initial ordinance risked being considered ultra-vires, not because they were charging for expansion itself, but because they didn't clearly restrict how the money could be spent. That blurred the line between a valid user fee and an unauthorized use of taxing power. The pro rata share requirement also reinforces the idea that these fees have to be fair and proportional to the impact of the new development. In the end, the case is a crucial reminder of the fundamental difference between a user fee, which is linked to the cost of a specific service, and a tax, which is meant to raise money for general government purposes.
So just to make sure we're all clear on the main point here, when it comes to connection fees in Florida for things like water and sewer, It's okay to include costs for future expansion, but only if those fees strictly follow the Dunedin test. That means the fee amount has to be a fair share of the expected expansion costs that are directly caused by the new user. And the ordinance that creates the fee has to legally require that the money collected is only used for that specific expansion purpose. No exceptions.
That's it in a nutshell. The Dunedin case gives us a vital legal framework for making sure that cities can pay for the infrastructure they need to handle growth while also protecting people and businesses from being hit with unauthorized taxes disguised as service fees.
This has been a really insightful look at a truly important case. And now, for our listener who's out there navigating the world of law, here's something to think about. How could the principles from the Dunedin test be applied to other types of fees that cities often charge? Like, imagine a park impact fee that's charged on new housing developments and is supposed to pay for new parks and recreational facilities for the growing population. Do you think that fee would hold up in court if it was challenged based on the Dunedin precedent? Think about both parts of the test. How would you determine the pro rata share of the cost that new residents should pay? And is there a clear and specific legal rule about how that park impact fee money can be spent? Exploring these real-world examples is crucial for understanding the long-term impact of cases like Dunedin.
That's a great point to consider. Looking at the Dunedin framework in the context of other common city fees, like transportation development fees or school impact fees, really shows how relevant this case still is and how important it is to have clearly defined and legally restricted uses for any fees imposed by local governments.
Thanks for joining us for this deep dive. Until next time, keep that legal curiosity alive and keep on learning.